It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Here are your hosts, Rick Pruse, a man possessing unparalleled animal care expertise, and Lee Cohen, who's also here.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we've been talking this morning with Jake Phillips, who is with a company called Biota. And Jake, before the break, Rick asked you a couple of questions that he wanted to continue the conversation with. So why don't we start there?
Well, Jake, I'm just curious if we could go, whether it's, we wouldn't mind all go to Hawaii or Palau. So if we were to fly over to either one of those and, you know, after we had our lovely vacation and we came over to visit your facility, what would a facility that breeds various marine fish ornamentals look like?
So it actually kind of looks like a mad scientist laboratory. We've got a bunch of tanks all over the place, organized everywhere in rows. And then we've got bubbling green beakers and containers full of live algae. And we've also got some blacked out tanks with those copepods I mentioned earlier. So it's a combination of all these things kind of balancing at once, but you definitely see tons of bubbling algae containers, is that's the biggest, that's the most food we need to produce to feed the copepods and give some green water to the larvae. But it's beakers, tons of scientific equipment all over the place, and large harems of fish in these giant tanks.
Yeah, for the listeners that ever thought about why it is that ocean fish are good for you and the fact that you have omega-3 fatty acids when you eat marine fish animals, but not commonly when freshwater, it is just about what Jake said, the pools of green water, or in the ocean, the vastness of phytoplankton that's everywhere, which happens to be very high in omega-3 as well as other fatty acids, and then that just climbs right up the food chain. So that's why it's a field of green, right, Jake?
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of numbers do you get when you spawn a mandarin goby?
Well, we have a ton of different pairs to make it more consistent. But on average, a regular spawn of a single pair of mandarins is going to get you a couple hundred fish.
Okay. And you're producing, I can't remember, but I swear it was something like 10,000?
Yeah, around 10,000 to 15,000.
Per how often?
Per year.
Per year. Okay. So that's a lot of pairs.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you feel like you're keeping up with the demand? Is the demand growing? Do you need to have more pairs of mandarin gobies, for instance?
Yeah. So it's growing kind of across the board of all of our species. So we've been increasing our brood stock basically year over year, depending on which species is earning the most demand, mandarin being one of those big ones.
So let's talk a little bit about one thing that I've always found particularly interesting is that depending on the point of view that you might have on the marine hobby, one might suggest that, well, we just need to captively breed all these animals because that's the only right thing to do. Can you talk a little bit about that versus, let's say, sustainable
Yeah, so in an ideal world, we'd be captive breeding everything, but that's just not really feasible for how big the aquarium industry is and the hobby is. As much as we'd like to increase in size, it's just not really feasible. So we do heavily rely on these sustainable practices in every country around the world. I know I mentioned Hawaii being one of the most sustainable collection practices or facilities in the whole world. So that balance of having these sustainable collection mixed with some captive breeding, just to make sure that everyone gets these beautiful fish in their aquariums and gets to learn about the ocean from their own point of view, I think that's the best way to have this industry survive, thrive, and grow.
Yeah, too often I find that, you know, people want to just vilify, if it comes out of the ocean, it must not be a good thing. But realistically, there is a lifestyle and an industry of individuals that, you know, basically can feed their kids and take care of the families by way of going out and collecting an animal. And it seems like the only real path forward is just us always focusing on how can we do all of that and make sure that we're pushing closer and closer to the most sustainable collection of all the industries that are out there collecting from the ocean.
And that's a huge aspect of it. There's tons of livelihoods at stake when a lot of these fisheries are closed down. I know, especially in the Indo-Pacific, where it's really predominant, that we educate a lot of the divers with specific net collecting practices that a lot of companies are investing to do. I know a few years or back in the day, there used to be a MAC certification, which means that these fish were collected sustainably and they could be transported around the world with this MAC certification, knowing that they were a sustainable option.
Yeah, I happen to hold the distinct pleasure of at least being the first MAC certified retailer, and that was fantastic. And realistically, even though the MAC certification, the MAC collection didn't in and of itself hold, I've noticed over the years since then, there's a lot of both private and public interest in doing exactly what MAC's like mission statement was. And just the other day I was reading of a particular supplier that was basically an importer of marine fish ornamentals that was giving up on a particular collection station simply because they weren't willing to be kind of completely open with everything they're doing, and moved on to a supply house that was being more open and more, you know, capable of, you know, viewing their practices and how they're doing it. And I just can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to keep beating the drum of what does a sustainable collection facility look like, and how, as we consumers of this, whether it's at the retail level or at the home use level, how do we make sure that we're doing the best at insisting that only sustainable fish are pulled from the ocean?
I think the best thing a hobbyist can do in that regard is just kind of ask where the fish came from. The thing with companies that utilize that MAC certification or the correct wholesalers around the world, they know where these fish are coming from. They some of them intimately know the divers that are actually collecting them. In some certain cases. So, I mean, if you ask, hey, where was this fish collected, or maybe what wholesaler did this fish come from, then you kind of have a great understanding of, oh, this was collected sustainably. It is a great option. And I know stores like your store, you mentioned that you were one of the first MAC certified retailers. I mean, you can be pretty confident that any fish that's entering your facility is sustainably caught in that regard.
Everything we can do, we try to exercise that, including being very selective in the supplier we buy from. And I appreciate that. So in just a few more minutes here, what is it that you would like to know, like everyone to know about Biota?
So I'd like everyone to know that we're just a company that is incredibly passionate about what we do. All of us are fish nerds and hobbyists at heart. I mean, I went to Roger Williams University, got a degree in marine biology just so I can hang around with fish tanks all day. And I love my job. Tom and Palau, the CEO of the company, loves his job. And we're just trying to increase captive breeding, increase awareness, because we do believe that the aquarium hobby is amazing. It's how people find passion within the ocean and sometimes landlocked states. And it's how people learn a whole lot about chemistry, art, engineering, mathematics, all in one little package in your home. So I think everyone should have an aquarium, just because they make everyone really kind of happy and interested in the environment and really respect what's out there.
And it doesn't hurt that you get to spend a little bit of time either Palau or Hawaii, or do you have to stay, or what's your personal experience?
Mostly I'm sitting at our Florida facility, but hopefully in the future I'll get to take a trip to our Hawaii and Palau facilities.
Well,
Tom's listening.
Yeah, if Tom is listening, I got it. Okay.
Well, I have one last question for
sure.
Jake. Jake, what is a website or a way that if people want to learn more about Biota that they can?
So our website is thebiotagroup.com. You can find a ton of information on there, a list of our retailers around the country and the globe. If you have any questions, you could email me at jake@thebiotagroup.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us. It's been a fascinating conversation, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, we'll take one more break, and when we come back, you and I can chat a little bit about what we just learned from Jake, as well as a little more perspective from the Prusen right here on 1320 WILS.